Now we ask Brother Frank that he gives us the word. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord for his grace and faithfulness, for the great privilege that we can consciously be gathered in his name, in his presence, hearing, ready to hear his word, to receive it by faith and to fulfill it by obedience, because that's what it's all about. Who has a chorus which we could sing? Maybe only believe. Let us believe today with all our hearts, so that the arm of the Lord might be revealed. Maybe this is the day. I think we can all say an amen to that. It is our time which the Lord has given unto us to believe the word and the promises for this time. And our trust is directed toward God. He will make all things well with those who believe him, who believe his word. We would like that all are feeling comfortable, that all are feeling at home, and that they are ready on the inside to hear the word, to receive it, and to get it revealed. We have understood the big difference between the original word as it came forth from the mouth of God and between all the interpretations which are being made about the word. At this place, the divine decision is important for us, namely only to preach what is really written in this book. We would like to welcome all of you from near and far. If we look to my left side, from east and west, when I look to my right, We are indeed internationally represented from the Czech Republic, from Poland, from Italy, from Austria, from Belgium, from the Netherlands, from France, from Switzerland, really from all over Europe. And then we have friends here from Nepal, and for the first time a special friend from the Philippines. Where is our brother Manuel from the Philippines? Maybe he could stand up for a moment.
Yeah, God segne dich. God bless you in our midst in a very special way. Doch wir freuen uns.
Yes, we rejoice. Many, many years ago, he was in Manila in a meeting and he heard the word of God. And now he is a preacher of the word which he heard at that time. Then we have friends here from Canada, our brother Andre, also here for the first time in our midst. May God bless him from the special province Quebec. God bless you in our midst. Then we have our brother Keller here from British Columbia. Where is he? Where is brother Keller? Please stand up. God bless you in our midst. And may God bless all our friends in British Columbia in a special way. Edmonton and all over, wherever the bright souls are scattered around the earth. Then we have our friends from Paris, from Brussels, brother and sister Kupfer from the Elsass, and just all wide and far, and especially all who are here today for the first time. Them we would like to welcome in a special way. Please stand up for a moment. Who is here today for the first time in our midst? Please stand up for a moment.
Herzlich willkommen, herzlich willkommen, herzlich willkommen, herzlich willkommen, herzlich willkommen. Ja, ganz herzlich willkommen. Gott segne euch alle in uns.
God bless you all in our midst. To the Lord be all the thanks that he still calls out. Then we have greetings from Brother Wahlström from all over Europe. And we can go straight to Nairobi. We can go up to Botswana, to Johannesburg, to Cape Town, to Kinshasa, to Lubumbashi. We can go to Luanda. From all over, yes, we can go to Brother Rigobert, to Benin, and into all the countries in which brothers and sisters are joined together with us, and who are believing the word for this hour. We are just thankful for it, especially Brother Daniel from Cape Town, and Brother David from Cape Town, Brother Motika from Johannesburg, and also the brethren from the other countries. They are joined with us. And we are also greeting from this place all who are now listening, who are connected on the internet, and who are listening to this service all over Europe. And then, of course, especially we are joined with our friends in Chile. This is just a very special friendship in the Lord, a deep union which God has given. And we are glad for all who have heard the word of the Lord and who believe it. Then Brother Schmidt gave me a piece of paper here with greetings from the Ukraine, especially from Ushgorod, and then from Shodivodi, from Grodno, from Belarus, from Moldavia, and just from all over. Then we have the good news that Brother Graf, for the first time, he made an Africa trip. Please stand up, Brother Graf, so that all can see you. Now just imagine, a Swiss man is also in Africa. So, it is just tremendous to see how God leads everything so that the word of the Lord can run. When Brother Barrier is in Africa, then it's nothing new that God blessed him since many decades. In recent times, also Brother Etienne Genton. But for Brother Graf, this most definitely was a special experience. We heard it, and we got it confirmed by the phone calls that the sermons were a blessing for many. And for this, we are just so thankful. Now, brothers and sisters, with us, it goes straight away into the preaching, especially into the teaching part of the preaching. We have, of course, the five ministries in the Holy Scripture, which God has placed into the church. God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And this is the divine order in the church of Jesus Christ. And I've written it in the last brochure, which just came out from the printing press, in the English language. When I'm asking in this brochure on page number 22, I'm asking questions there. I'm addressing questions especially to the Church of Rome. Then if this we're not doing because we feel like doing it. We have the holy duty before the holy God to pass on the holy word in such a way as it was left to us in the Holy Scripture. If we make the remark that neither in the Roman Church, nor in the Greek Orthodox Church, nor in many, many churches, nothing is in agreement with the Bible, then we make this remark really with great sorrow, with a great pain, because people have put their hope into a religion, into a church, into a man, starting from their birth up to their death, and then they are going deceived into eternity. Who can tolerate this? Who does not feel a great pain when he sees things like that? And please permit me here to make the remark here. If after death we would have still the chance to make a new, a different decision, then the preaching would not have the seriousness which it has now. But the Holy Scripture says it really in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. The Holy Scripture doesn't know of any beatification and canonization after death. It only knows the beatification of those who believe the word of God in their lifetime. And to them was given the promise, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. And the nine beatifications in the Sermon on the Mount are not directed to the dead, but addressed to the living. And this, we must just leave the way it is. And it is really impossible to please men and God at the same time. This is just not possible. And now, just to mention this very briefly, the points we have listed here, the points. From the lips of our Lord, there is really not one promise that Peter should have a successor. There is no promise that Christ should have a vicar. There's nothing of that what people have introduced. And this is the big trouble which exists in Christianity and also in all the other religions. That promises are being made for which God actually gave no promise at all. Only what God promised will find fulfillment. Everything else is deception. And all of us, we were born into a deception. To not use the word fraud, but deception is fraud. All of Christianity and the whole world is truly born into the religious fraud. And therefore, we all must be born again. We must receive the word of truth into us, and the Spirit of God must come upon us to bring forth the new life in us. Now, just a remark, the Church of the New Testament doesn't know of any holy water, no incense, no crucifixes, no rosaries, no processions. She doesn't know of any pilgrimages, not of any purgatory, nothing of this, of all these, what is called sacraments. Nothing of sprinkling of infants, nor of any godfathers, not the prayers of the dead. She doesn't know of any confessional boxes, nothing of indulgences. She knows nothing of, and I really say this with a deep sorrow, she doesn't know of all what is being presented to the people as Christian, given to them as being Christian. Nothing of all that comes from Christ. And then we shall be silent. There is no Ave Maria. I could list here the whole list once again. Only in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 14, Mary is being mentioned once more. And that in connection with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Also she, as a virgin pardoned by God, she could not go into glory without, together with the 120, without experiencing the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So, not a beatification which people are pronouncing, but back to the Word of God. Only he who believes God will be set free from all error. In August of this year, we truly had three special events. We had the visit of the Pope, and brothers and sisters, I didn't have much time to watch. I never have it. Except when I'm traveling around the earth. Here in Krefeld, I don't have this time. But if one sees and then also hears that this man who is being jubilated at from 300,000 people at the sea, at the shore of the Rhine River, when he is on a boat as a fisher of men, apparently like Christ, when he was in the boat and when he spoke to the multitudes, and when then 300,000 people are crying out, "Holy Father, we don't let you go except you blessed us," then this goes too far. Then one cannot be silent about it. No, this goes too far. The glorification of a man may just not take place. I've written it. God was never glorified in a man on earth, only in his personal manifestation when he became man in Jesus Christ our Lord. God does not give his glory to another. And I was thinking on the word in Exodus 32, where Jacob wrestled with God, putting his arms around him as he revealed himself to him in the appearance of an angel. And then he cried out the words, "I will not let you go except you bless me." And then all these junkies and who they are, who have no idea about God at all, but who are jubilating to a man and then asking for his blessing. I also want to remind you on the scripture in Matthew 23, verse 9. There our Lord says, "Ye shall call no man on earth as your father, for one is your Father who is in heaven, and only his name shall be hallowed, and only his kingdom shall come, and only his will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But we see that all of mankind is indeed somehow like in a trance, regardless whether it's a sport trance or a religious trance. Mankind was indeed deceived. And this all over the earth. Then we have the second event with all the flooding. And there we think really on Luke 21, verse 25, where it speaks of the sea and the waves roaring. And we think on Isaiah 51, also in a special way, where briefly it's referred to, Isaiah 51, verse 15 and 16, Isaiah 51, 15 and 16, "But I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, Thou art my people." God works in a wonderful way. And he who goes to the prophet Amos, to chapter 3, he will find out that it is written there that nothing happens in the city, also no calamity, without that God permitted it to happen. And straight in connection with this, it's written that God does nothing on earth unless he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And we have understood that we are living in a prophetic age, in a time period where Bible prophecy is finding fulfillment. Maybe I should also mention this here. The canonization. I have here an article from the internet, 3rd of September, 8:38 this morning, and here something very strange is written. As you all know, the previous pope shall be canonized now, and here it says in this passage, for instance, was an American Jew healed when he received the communion from the pope. Witness Monsignore Stanislaus Divic and so forth. I just mentioned this for one single reason. As mentioned before, to the people, everything is presented. One is looking now for miracles which are being said to have taken place, of which one didn't hear while the man was still alive. And now after death, miracles are being searched for and invented. I repeat myself, there is no canonization and beatification after death, only a pronouncing of being blessed and holy while one is still alive. When we believe, as the scripture says, when we receive that what God promised us in his word. We also witnessed it. The visit in the synagogue in Cologne. I don't want to go into details. But also the Jews have still the veil upon their eyes and upon their hearts. And only in Christ, that's how Paul is writing it, only in Christ the veil is going to be taken away. Brothers and sisters, the same applies to all the churches and denominations and religions. Only in Christ God revealed himself personally to mankind. Only in Christ he came to us. And only in him we are coming to God. Only he could say, he who sees me sees the Father. I and the Father are one. So, always coming to the kernel of the matter. Now, concerning the flooding, we of course were all affected and suffered with everyone, be it in Bavaria, be it in Austria or in Switzerland. But that, what happened now in America, it just goes beyond everything what was known before. One has to imagine an area of the size of Great Britain is affected, and perplexity is all over. But the question is whether the speaking of God, whether the judgments which are already in the coming, whether one hears what God has to say. To be honest, I don't want to be involved in politics, but a president who spent already more than $200 billion for the Iraq war, which in fact is not even a war but terror, and it just continues. How shall it continue? Brothers and sisters, we have arrived at the end of the end time. And we could maybe compare it with the following now. Have you all taken note of a 10-day long military exercise of Russia and China to get the world terror under control? I've noted down the scriptures. You can write it down. It's Ezekiel 38, verse 5 and 6. And it's also Ezekiel 38, verse 14 to 16, where indeed it speaks of the far north. Of the north, it's always being spoken of. But there is written, it's written black on white, from the far north. You, of course, can have a look onto the world map. Vladivostok is really the last city. And he was there. He has about 60 kilometers to the Chinese border, and he can look over to Japan and to North Korea. And if one then hears that these two nations are joining in the greatest military exercise in the history of mankind, then one must take the Bible in his hands. One must even read Revelation 16, verse 12, where the way is prepared for the kings of the east. So, not only the kings of the north or from the far north, but also from the east, the way must be prepared. So, the way is being prepared. You can read it in Revelation 9 from verse 13 to 18. Brothers and sisters, we will not go into details with that, but it is just being led by God in such a way that we received the prophetic word for our orientation, that we not only pay attention to the signs of the time, like wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and so forth, floodings and so forth, but that we really understood that the preparations of that what will happen after the rapture are now in full swing. So, lift up your heads, for we know that our redemption is drawing near. How long it will take, we all do not know. But one thing we know, the return of the Lord is at hand. Now, two, three scriptures about Gaza. It would be good if all would have a look onto a map of Israel, to then also know geographically where what is. The most bottom point, which is mentioned in the Bible, is Gera. And this is really at the border to Egypt. Each one can look it up on the map. The most upper point is Apec, right at the far north part of that strip. And he who likes to read it up can do it. A strip of a length of 40 kilometers, at some places 6 kilometers wide, on other places 14 kilometers wide. The whole area of about 378 square kilometers. Of what it is about now is the following. Not only to give a report of a certain size, but about that is that strip which Israel under Joshua did not capture. And the strip which was not captured became a snare for the people of Israel at all times. And to this, I'm reading you just briefly the scriptures, and then we go to the word observation which affects us. Because, let us be honest, in the moment, the church reports of that, what is taking place worldwide. But the moment must come, where worldwide is being reported of what God is doing in the church. There's no other way. This must just become like this. And right to the end, God will not just watch and leave us the way we are, but He will indeed confirm His word by grace. We have read last time the scripture of Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2, namely that Gaza will be destroyed and that Ashkelon will become a desolation. Zephaniah chapter 2 from verse 4. For Gaza shall be forsaken and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday and Ekron shall be rooted up. And then we find the further description of what will be included in this destruction. Here's the point. Because the Gaza Strip was never conquered at the time of Joshua, therefore it never became a part of the promised land, of which the Lord God said to Joshua in chapter 1, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you. But this strip, at the time of Joshua, it was not captured, even though the promise was given for it. And here is the big point and the great lesson for us as the church. Only if we put our feet of faith upon every promise which God has given, then it will become our possession. If not, then God will use that very point to test us and to make life difficult for us. And therefore, the great lesson to believe, to receive, namely that what God has promised us by His grace. Let me read you from Judges. From Judges, chapter 1, the verses, Judges 1, chapter 1, from verse 18. However, the men of Judah could not conquer Gaza with its territory, and Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. They could not capture it. They could not conquer it. Yes. And here we must take a deep breath. The promise was here. And God was with His people. And yet, the victory could not be manifested. And therefore, we read on, verse 19, and the Lord was with Judah, and He drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. And now it comes. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Brothers and sisters, I am about to say here that we, as the New Testament church, that we must indeed come into the possession of all the promises, and we will come to possess them, and we will stand our ground, which God has given us, because all promises of God are yes and amen. Let us read to this also the word from Judges, chapter 2, namely of the promise of God who keeps his word forever and who does not break any promise. Judges, chapter 2, from verse 1. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. In connection with this, that's how you can read on here. God made a condition for this, namely to throw down the altars and to throw out all the idols, so that the Lord God in this land can have his word, and that his people do not serve other gods in this land, but only the one true God, who has led his people out of bondage so that it might serve him. And this is the point of which it is now also about with us as the New Testament church. Now, Judges chapter 2, verse 20. Judges 2, verse 20. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. What a word. And afterward, in verse 22, that through them I may test Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not.
Darum hatte also der Herr,
therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. One could almost say it's a tragedy. There is the Lord God who gave the promise already to Abraham at the first conversation in Genesis 12 and then onward Genesis 17. And Abraham dwelt as a guest in the land. And then the people of Israel, even under Joshua, the great man of God, who commanded to lay the Ark of the Covenant unto the shoulders of the priests, and who commanded to march through the river Jordan as on dry land, who seven times marched around the city of Jericho on 7 days, and then on the seventh day, they compassed it seven times, and no one had to stretch forth his hand to touch the wall. The trumpets went before them, and God also, and God was with them. And behold, the walls fell, and the victory of God was manifested. Brothers and sisters, here we have the great lesson of our leading out. And then comes the time of testing, and then comes the time of going in. And also there, we must pay attention that every area in our lives is stepped upon, that every promise is experienced personally, so that nothing remains to give us a snare. And this is the great lesson which we must learn and which we can learn from everything. If you read in the chapters in Judges, especially in chapter 16, there we have a man with the name Samson. And even it's written that the Spirit of God came upon him, and what happened? He went to Gaza. What did he want there? It didn't even become a part of the promised land. And there he saw the harlot. And there he fell. And there his eyes were put out. And there he had to grind the mill. You know very well that the Holy Scripture was not just given that we have a chapter or two chapters more, but everything what happened with Israel in the natural is the development of the Church of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And if we look at it carefully, God called Israel his wife, his fiance. We just have to go to the prophet Ezekiel, to chapter 16, and to other chapters, to the prophet Hosea, to the prophet Jeremiah, where God suddenly had to say, Israel is no longer my wife. She has committed fornication. She turned away from me, and she followed the gods of the nations. And then, in the New Testament, we have the picture in Revelation 12 of the woman which was crowned with a crown of 12 stars. And from the mouth of Brother Branham, we heard it. That is the Church, the New Testament Church, crowned with the doctrine of the 12 apostles. And then we have the picture of the woman in Revelation 17. She's not crowned with a crown with 12 stars. She is riding on the beast and is the great whore. And the others are her daughters. And here we have the point. Let us once and for all understand He who leaves the biblical ground comes upon the enemy's ground. And then he leaves the faith in the one true God and starts to serve other gods. And then one must really ask the question, where did the Bible ever speak one single time of a triune God? Really, not a single time. Where did it speak of three persons who are existing eternally next to each other? Not a single time. Where did the Bible ever testify of that the God of heaven as Father has begotten in heaven the Son? As it states in the Nicene Creed, and which was then complemented in the Chalcedonian Creed. And he who compares these two creeds, he notices of all what was added, and both has no biblical foundation. So, he who is in the kingdom of God, he who belongs to the church of Jesus Christ, may not commit any spiritual fornication. He may not step on strange ground, which was not stepped upon in the early church. He may not step upon it. We must remain within the limits of the Word of God. How often shall we say it? What have we to do with a Mr. Tertullian from Tunisia? I don't understand this. What have we to do with any church father? They were all pagans. They had no calling. Not one of them. And in church history, I know my way around. Make no mistake. Not a single time was there one man in the third or fourth or other centuries who would have received a divine call. They were philosophers, and they indeed interpreted the divine content of the Word in a humanly way, and have put their own thoughts into the Word of God. And this we must say here, this we cannot tolerate. We don't want to tolerate. We want to prove and occupy everything what God has given to the church. And we believe that all the promises of God are really yes and amen. Please, let us summarize. That strip which at the time of Joshua was not captured, was never captured after that. But that strip, which belonged up to 1967 to the Egyptians, was then occupied by the Israelites. And now, after 38 years, they must move out. And I also tell you why. Because so that they don't have part in the destruction which will come upon the Gaza Strip. They must go out before that. Here we have the next point. What good is it for the rabbi when he in the synagogue holds fast to his Torah and embracing it and doesn't even think about to look into the Torah and to read what is written in the Torah? The same it is today. Yeah. How many are having the Bible and are taking it and are interpreting it, and it is not revealed unto them by God? So, not defending the Torah on the enemy's ground, but returning with the Torah unto the promised ground, so that God can confirm His word in His people. The same it is with us in this time. In all the Christian churches, we cannot come to them with a true proclamation. Years ago, it was still different. Years ago, and I remember it, how often in the Baptist churches, in the Methodist churches, even in the Kosovo, in Pristina, and whoever it was, with Adventists and all over I was preaching. But today, where the whole world knows of what is connected with the end-time message, namely the divine correction, that everything must be brought back to the Word, in the meantime, they have received the literature. And behold, only one here and one there is being called out. The broad multitude is convinced of themselves and convinced of their teachings. And I still remember it when I, on that Sabbath morning, together with Brother Menard, I was speaking in that Adventist church, and he said to me, "Be careful, here they are keeping the Sabbath." And I have no problem to behave myself. It was always like that. But the truth nevertheless had to be preached, namely in love. When people have the impression that in Revelation chapter 1, where John writes, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day," there some are writing, "This was the Sunday," and the others are saying, "No, this was the Sabbath. It was neither the Sabbath nor the Sunday. It was that what would happen already on the day of the Lord," which John has seen. It was not a 24-hour day, but it was the day of the Lord is a time period. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I just have something against all the interpretations. I can nothing for it. And if then it's even said that he who does not keep the Sabbath, he has the mark of the beast, then it gets very serious. Then it gets very serious. This one cannot tolerate anymore, because then one really has to go to Revelation chapter 13, to the last verse, and there is written, "He who has understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man." Not of a system, of a man who represents a whole system. So, back to the Bible teaching, back to the Word of God, back to the capturing of all what God has prepared for us by grace. Here is another point which must be mentioned. As the Jews are being brought back from all the nations, and now even from the Gaza Strip before the destruction comes, so also the bride church from all peoples, tongues and nations, she must be called out. She must become a word bride without any mixing. And she must be sanctified in the word of truth. And also she must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. When we look into this time, then we indeed see Bible prophecy in its fulfillment. And we just rejoice about that the divine order with Israel will be established at the latest when the Lord will start his rule. And he who reads in Ezekiel 47 and 48 He can take the map and he can find out how the tribes received their allotted territory and how everything will be when the divine order will be established with his people in the land of promise. Brothers and sisters, let us hand over the responsibility and leading to our Lord. Let us surrender to the Lord so that the divine order is established without delay. And then God will have his way with us. And the enemies will be laid unto his footstool. Because that's how it is written. In Psalm 110, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And we know on the cross of Calvary, everything what God promised us has been given unto us. And it's ours. Because thus it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. All the promises of God are yes and amen through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let me say here today, in the name of the Lord, all who believe the word of promise for this time, that God has sent a prophet not to play with our time, not for our judging, but he sent him to turn our hearts back to the beginning. Brothers and sisters, if you believe this promise with all your heart, then please also believe that all promises will be fulfilled with those who believe the main promise for this time. That's how it was with John the Baptist. There were, of course, many promises. But the main promise was, behold, I send my messenger before my face. And all who believed this promise and who have seen it at that time and who were prepared and who were also baptized, all of them receive the connection to the next move of God. And brothers and sisters, since the going home of Brother Branham, God of course continues to work. It would really be very, very sad if one could only report of that what God has done. And then would even probably say, this was once upon a time and is no more. Not with God. As God had a Moses. And here it is not about Elijah or Joshua. Here it is about the New Testament church was led out of bondage. And she steps upon the promised ground. Now it is about that how much ground we can occupy by faith. Let us today be strengthened in the faith. And all the promises, let us take them and claim them by faith. And as we were reading, God said, I will not break my covenant with you. All the promises which I have given unto you, they will find fulfillment. Shall it be different today? Shall it be different now? Can God break the covenant which he made with us in Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary? When our Lord said, this is the new covenant in my blood. With this, the New Testament church was given the new covenant by God. through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we don't have to be faint-hearted, especially not with the enemies. And enemies are all over around us. But please, take the word of our Lord serious. Namely that He, on the cross of Calvary, He conquered all the enemies. And that God was in Christ, triumphing over all the enemies. And that our Lord rose on the third day to bring forth the evidence that death is conquered, hell is conquered, Satan is conquered. Here I am, I live, and ye shall live also. As all the promises were fulfilled in the Redeemer, so must and will all the promises be fulfilled in the redeemed. And let us remember on that what we said before. That area which was not captured became a snare unto the people. Brothers and sisters, fully for Jesus, fully for Him. That's how we want to walk through this life. Half measure does not profit us, as a German song goes. So, a decision to believe God. I don't know whether you have taken note of this, but the Lord was going before the people of Israel. They just needed to follow Him. And in the Ark of the Covenant was the divine covenant, the divine promise. And wherever they carried it, and wherever their sole of their feet stepped upon, that was theirs. And it's theirs for eternity. Because God said, this is given to you as an inheritance to all generations. So, let us, as the New Testament Church, let us learn from this. God has taken the responsibility for Himself. We don't have to be faint-hearted, but in faith, receiving salvation, deliverance, and healing. Because thus it is written that our Lord, as Redeemer, as the Son of God, died for us on the cross of Calvary. That God was in Christ and has reconciled the world with Himself. And that's how it is written in Colossians chapter 1. In Him we have the reconciliation, the redemption through His blood. And even more, we have healing. We have healing. By His stripes we were healed. As sure as our Lord was beaten and smitten on His body, and not only that, He had such a pain, because thus it is written, a man of sorrow. He could not even be looked at. Such a sorrow, such a pain He carried, He had for us. When He took upon Himself our sin, our guilt, our afflictions, everything, all of the curse, He took upon Himself. And He died on the cross of Calvary after crying out the words, "It is finished." Let us believe today with all our hearts that every promise which God has given through Jesus Christ our Lord, that it is really, really ours, that we have a divine right to put our feet of faith upon every promise. This is not arrogance. This is our divine privilege, by grace. And I say once again, before we close, in the main promise over which all are stumbling at, which all of Christianity doesn't even want to hear, and all who maybe hear it once, they say then, oh, this was already with John the Baptist fulfilled. With John the Baptist, the first part was fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. Now, the second part, before the second coming, is in its fulfillment. Everything has its divine position, place. But we can only see it if it is revealed to us by God. One cannot speak with any man about it, with no parson, with no priest, with no preacher, with no evangelist, with no charismatic. God speaks with us. And in as much we believe what He tells us in His Word, it is being revealed to us by His grace. And then we do not confer any longer with flesh and blood. Be honest. Every preacher, every parson gives his own answer. We don't need it. I need God's answer. I need the Scripture as a divine answer. And inasmuch we believe it, then it is revealed to us. Now, I have one question. How many of us are truly convinced that in our time the promise of the prophet Malachi, the last three verses, "Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes," confirmed in Matthew 17, verse 11, confirmed in Mark 9, verse 12. How many believe and see the difference that on one side, John the Baptist came on the scene in the spirit and power of Elijah, as written in Luke 1, from verse 11 to 18, and that the second part, namely that part, that the hearts of the children would be turned again to the fathers, that this part finds fulfillment in our time. Just say Amen! It is so. It is so. And I say once again, about this, one cannot speak with any man. God speaks directly with us and reveals us His Word and His will. And I want to say it once again, whoever believes this main promise for our time and having part in the ministry which God has given, simply because it is the fulfillment of Bible promise for our time. Therein, everything else is embedded. And as sure as God makes with us the start, so sure He will continue. And He will lead us up to the completion until we come from believing unto seeing. And so we see, really, without any own effort, we see that it is being fulfilled what Brother Branham repeated 41 times. He repeated it by saying what he was told on the 11th of June 1933, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. It is just necessary that we take heed to every single word. Not you will be sent to Foran, but you will be sent with a message which will forerun the second coming of Christ. And so we see this fulfilled worldwide. How many see it fulfilled? Let me see your hands. Of course. It's just like that. We do not interpret. We just have part in that what God is presently doing. And should, and I believe it, should there be a comparison with that, what happened in the times of Joshua and what happens now, then I really have the request. Let us believe God's word in its fullness. And let us trust God. He will make all things well. And not one single promise will remain unfulfilled. Because God is watching over His word and watching over us who we believe His word and who we receive His word. And so, every promise will find fulfillment. And we may put our feet of faith upon it. And all the enemies, maybe this, now in closing, all the enemies will not only be laid at the feet of our Lord, but in the church. The enemies will be laid at. Therefore, Paul writes in Romans that the Lord will crush Satan under your feet shortly. We want to witness personally that we not only heard God's promises, but that they become a divine reality in our lives, and that we can watch how the victory of God, as it took place on the cross of Calvary, and as it was confirmed by the resurrection, that this victory will also become a divine reality in our midst by grace. To Him, the Almighty God, be thanks. Gaza here, Gaza there. The time has come. 21 settlements were evacuated. Everything is so far prepared that the destruction can come. The word goes forth in all peoples, tongues, and nations before the destruction comes, which is announced in Revelation 17, and especially in Revelation 18, that the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth, and three times it's written in Revelation 18, in one single hour it will be destroyed. So, ye my people, come out, touch not the unclean thing, so that you have no part in their plagues and in their judgments. The decision was made. God has helped us. And this at the end of the day of salvation. To believe in such a way as the scripture said. And with the fulfillment, and to count on all the fulfillment of that, what God promised. Him, the Almighty God, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the God of Israel, who has become our Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to Him be the praise and the honor now and forever.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We stand up to thank the Lord. And should there be brothers and sisters here today who have a special prayer request, then just come to the front while we sing the chorus, Just As I Am.
So.
Noch einmal
so wie ich bin.
Our Lord says, "He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." He is still the same today. The gospel of Jesus Christ becomes the power of God to those who believe, for the direct power of God, which is being manifested today at this place by His grace in those and on those who believe it. The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the crucified one and of the risen one, is connected with the whole plan of salvation, and all the promises are really yes and amen, and must and will happen with us. Salvation, healing, in fact everything what God has given us in Christ, we can take it home today. Can you all believe? It is not about feelings. It is about faith, first believing, and then afterwards one feels the healing. First the blind believed that they will receive their sight, then they became seeing. First the lepers believed that they will be cleansed, and then they were cleansed. First faith, and then God acts. And then happens that, what He promised to us by His grace. How many would like to have an experience with God in the forgiveness of sins, that you would like to become children of God, to receive the assurance that the Lord received you? Let us start with that. How many want that we pray that the grace of God, that the justification, the forgiveness, the full salvation of God, that it is being manifested in your lives? Let me see your hands. Oh yes, there are some. Pardon? And the whole church. Actually, all of us. This we all want. Remember the one sermon of Brother Branham. When some people raised their hands, he said, "This we all need." And then all raised their hands. But how many have an inside trouble, a bondage of which they can't get delivered? They feel that they can't do what they actually want to do. That something is forcing you to do certain things which is against your will. That you need a deliverance in the spirit. Thank you. Here. Of course. Here. Thank you. We have most certainly some. And now healing. Healing. Who needs healing? Blessed and praised be the Lord. Can you believe that as sure as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary, taking the whole curse upon himself, which was caused by the sin, and all the disobedience and transgression, the separation from God, He has annulled it and has given us the reconciliation with God, with everything that belongs to it: salvation, healing, deliverance. Just say amen. We will now pray together. And Brother Rus is known all over as a man of faith. We will pray together. But today I'm asking that Brother Rus comes to the front and that he prays with all of us. And then we will thank together also. Faithful God, we have heard your word. And these dear brothers and sisters are trusting your grace. They are trusting your word. And they have come with all their requests. Lord Jesus, you alone are able to give. And you are giving it. Now in this moment, you are giving each one what they need. Faithful God, we are looking up to you, not to a man, not to a Brother Rus or Brother Frank. We are looking up to you, Lord. You can make all things well. Blessed and praised be your wonderful name. Blessed and praised. Hallelujah. Let your spirit fall upon all of us, as in Jerusalem in the upper room. We ask you, may all be filled . Manifest yourself in our midst, in all the hearts, what it's all about. Hallelujah, it is finished. My Jesus has set me free. Let us sing. He did it. Believe it with all your heart. And go and thank the Lord that he finished everything for you. Receive it by faith. He did it. And it has taken place. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, receive it today by faith. Our Lord and Redeemer has not given us 90 or 95%. He has given us everything what He promised. He has given us all of the land, not as with Joshua, but divine salvation has been given unto us by God. Blessed and praised be the Lord our God. What could not be fully finished at the time of Joshua has been finished when our Lord cried out, "It is finished! It is finished!" Hallelujah! Praise be to God! Let us sing, "Hallelujah, be praised." Hallelujah.